In today's episode, we unpack 9 calls to action every church website needs. You would never preach a sermon and not ask your audience to do something in response. In the same way, your website shouldn't just deliver information. It needs to ask visitors to respond. Getting your calls to action right is one of the keys to a church website that gets results. We hope this conversation helps your church reach more people and grow. You're listening to the Reach Right podcast, the show dedicated to helping pastors and church leaders reach people the right way. Hosted by me, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host, Ian Hyatt. We're here to help your church see more visitors and grow. Well, hey guys, welcome to the Reach Right podcast, episode number 24. I am your host, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host,
Ian Hyatt. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Ian? How's it going, man?
It's going well, going well.
Good, good. Glad to hear it. We got a good conversation today leading up to this Christmas season, a fun one, I think, to dive into. But we'll be talking today about 9 calls to action every church website needs. 9 calls to action every church website needs. I think it's going to be just a fun conversation. And this is something that I think a lot of people that we talk to and consult, I think they just kind of miss this aspect. I think people get so caught up in pretty web design, and we're all for that. We like web design and things that look good. But what really is just as important as something that looks good as something that actually gets results and has people take action. I think it's an important conversation for us to have. What do you think?
Yeah, I do. And not only are they sometimes more focused on the aesthetics, but they're focused on the content and the information, and they forget to ask someone to do something with that information, right?
So, absolutely. I've always used this kind of analogy because I think pastors get this. So you would never preach a sermon and you talk about, hey, so Jesus is the way, and he died on the cross for your sins, and all you have to do is follow him. So, yeah. Do whatever
have
you want
nice
with
day.
That info.
Nobody would say
something like that. Yeah. So you would actually say, so I want to help you make that decision. If you want to decide to follow Jesus, let's whatever your altar call routine is, it's raise your hand or stand up or come to the front or talk to somebody or talk to me after. But you do something. You ask people to do something with that information. So many churches, while they get pastors get that on their sermons, we get that in real life, we miss that huge opportunity. And churches treat their website like this. Well, they'll say that our church is really a great place. I think you're going to find family. I think you're going to love it. So, just leave it there, right? That's what a call to action does, though. A call to action is that asking someone to do something with the information that you've just given them on the website. If you skip this part, I think you miss so much of the opportunity. You know, we really all understand that now this is the front door to most churches, especially in this 2020 COVID season where so much is happening online. This is the main place of connection and people getting assimilated and people engaging with your church. And this is their first stop before they show up if you're having in-person services still. And really giving them a clear call to action is one of the most important things you can do.
Yeah. When there's a statistic, and I should know this, but it was a while back that I think that we saw this stat, so maybe that's why I can't recall it right away. But there was, and I used to hear you say it a lot, that basically when you ask someone to do something, they're like 9 times more likely to respond or something like that, or it was 90% or something like that. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, I'd probably just made it up, whatever that was. I don't know.
The difference between you and I.
I remember one about Easter. Like, I remember that it was 9 people out of 10 that they said they would, people said they would respond and go to an Easter service if somebody invited them, if they just had an invite like that. That may not have been the exact same one, but I think we all can understand that people are much more likely to do things that you ask them to do than things that you don't ask them to do. That's the main point. And so what we want to do today is give our audience the 9 most important ones. I think that really every church website, they should probably include all 9 of these now. Yep. Some of them are probably more important than others. They're that initial on-ramp for people. But I think all 9 of these have a place on your church website. And one of our other philosophies about church website building is that we always try to make sure that every piece of content has some kind of a way that someone would respond to it. And if there's not a call to action or some kind of response that someone can make, then it probably isn't content that's worth being on your website. So right. It's something that really everything you're saying on there needs to have a call to action. And these are the top 9 that every church website should have. So why don't you go ahead and kick us off with number 1?
Yeah, this one's going to think I'd be at the forefront of everyone's minds in 2020, but it's to watch online. So we, of course, have seen this call to action, increase on church websites this year with everything that's happened with the pandemic. But even pre-coronavirus and post-coronavirus, this should still be something effective on a church website, is to just simply ask someone to watch online. I mean, if you kind of have your sermons tab or link and that stuff kind of just buried and there's not a clear call to action right when they get there, they may miss it.
Yep, absolutely right. Yeah, I think that this is something that we saw some, and then everybody needed to have it in March of 2020. We all realized, we needed to have a watch online. We wrote a post at Reach right here. It was the ultimate guide to live streaming your church services. And from at the beginning of March, we saw maybe 30 or 40 hits a day on that post of people reading it, to by the end of March, we were seeing 700 or 800 people every day reading that one post that we did there. So it became obvious that online streaming was something that churches needed to do. I am convinced that while it may not stay quite the same as it is right now, that churches in general, we've already made all the big investment. We've learned the technology. We're probably going to just keep using it and giving people online options and ways for people to engage with us digitally in services that are online there. But it's an obvious call to action. I think it usurped our number one call to action that it used to be, which is going to be number 2 in just a second. But it has become the primary call to action on most church websites now, because that is the main pathway to some kind of an experience, whether it be a Sunday experience or any time during the week. So encouragement to all of our audience is, if you are administering your church website, or if you have any say in it, you probably want watch online to be one of the first thing someone sees. It's not the statement. It's not the, we talked about that last week. It's not your slogan. It's not the catchphrase, but that big button right below it. I think that makes sense to be watch online, at least in 2020, as things are standing as they are now. So number two was our number one, one last year, I guess, but it was plan your visit. And I still think this is really an important thing. If you're planning, if you're having live services in person again, or you're planning on having in-person services again soon, plan your visit is something that I think is something that is really a powerful call to action. And when we say that, it doesn't just mean telling people about what's going to happen on a Sunday, but actually what we've seen get results is having churches fill out having people fill out a little form that is like a let us know you're coming kind of a form.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this in other episodes where we encourage people or churches to give this a try, but we found that it just is a really good tool. If you promise something like some kind of a gift or some kind of you make a promise to a visitor, they will be willing to fill out one of those forms, and it helps you kind of engage with them ahead of time before they ever show up.
Yeah. And I think too, that a lot of people are now, and not to keep using 2020 and what we've gone through with the pandemic as an example, but it has brought a lot of things to the forefront and to our minds that weren't there before. So I think a lot of people are used to having to like register for things now or book a spot for something, whether or not it's a restaurant with limited capacity because of things or whatever. So it's in people's minds now too. And you're absolutely right. I think it's still a main call to action if you're meeting in person, obviously, as a church. And we've been seeing on a lot of good websites right now, it's kind of like right next to that watch online, because what we're seeing is people are falling into one of those two buckets, right? For a church that has an online experience and an in-person, someone's going to go to either one of those probably right away. So those, those two are kind of side by side for those churches.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, and we had a whole podcast episode about how to handle these kinds of plan your visit registrations. The main gist of it is start the assimilation and conversation with them early. Have an email sequence that starts going out to them. Make sure you make some kind of a contact. But I think this is something that I've learned as when I pastored a church, we did this, and I learned that not everybody is going to fill it out. It does make those that do much, much stickier, and their odds of coming back again are much higher when we did this here. So we think that's something that every church website should have some kind of a way that people can plan their visit and let us know that they're coming.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Good. Well, I'll tackle number three. The next one's a good one too. It's register your kids, having that call to action for families with kiddos that are checking out a church for the first time or second time or something like that. Allow them to register their kids. Most churches have some sort of a kids check-in process now. Even smaller churches that used to just, lead the kid down the hall where the Sunday school was going on or something like that. Most churches now have some sort of a process, and the parents are expecting that for security purposes, for convenience and all of that. So why not give them the opportunity ahead of time to do that on your website?
Yeah. So I know that most churches nowadays that we need a lot of information from parents just for, like you said, security, for liability reasons, those kinds of things. And for new people to come to your church for the first time, they have to fill out a lot of information in most cases. So they are, from all of the health stuff, the allergy information, kids' names and ages and retinal scans. But there's all kinds of things that you have to do. And a lot of churches, they'll have lines that start to form. If you get a good chunk of new people that come to your church, there could be lines that show up and
miss the service.
I know I visited your church once, Ian, the church that you go to, and I remember very clearly that our kids were young at the time. And from the time we got there to the time we actually got to sit down, it was probably 15 or 20 minutes of registering kids and walking around the campus. It's a big church, obviously. There's lots of steps along the way, but it takes some time. And so all that to say, I think what you get to do is you get to pull that forward. Now, the added advantage of having people pre-register their kids is you get their information, you get to follow up with them. But I think that it helps, again, makes people stickier when you can give this kind of a forum where they can fill out their kids' information ahead of time. Not everybody's going to do it. It's a little bit weird to put in your kids' information onto a website for some people, and that's okay. But I think anything we can do to pull that forward for people and make their Sunday morning experience a better one by not making them wait in line for 15 minutes, I think that just really adds to someone's experience and adds to them becoming a part of your church, the likelihood of that at least.
Absolutely.
So that's going to be good.
Absolutely.
Good. Number four, I'll go ahead and hit that. It's giving people an opportunity and a call to action to get baptized. I think that's one of the ones that has really been valuable to a lot of churches. I find a lot of churches that I think every church, this is one sacrament that just about every evangelical or Christian church agrees on is baptism. Now, when we do it, there's some variance on that. Some infants, some people that do believer's baptism, and that's not a conversation for us to get into today. I'm sure we have audience members that are on both ends of that camp there. But for those that would look to, whether they're signing up their children or they themselves are making a decision to be baptized, I think that is a great way to do that, because as much as we believe in it, it's not something that you can talk about every single week, right?
Right.
Churches, you can't do it in the announcements every week. You can't preach on it every single week, but it is something that when people are in that place in their journey with Jesus, that is obviously an important next right step for them to take. So giving them an online portal to do that, where they're calling them to action to make that decision and giving them a form to fill out to do that, I think it really makes a lot of sense. So what do you think?
Yeah. And I think when it's on your website, it's a constant reminder to that new believer, that person that's considering it. Like you just said, that's not always announced. It's usually at most churches, not something that's happening every Sunday or whatever. Right. So I think that's one of the things that when your website's working for you 24/7, right? And a lot of people that are newer at your church will be relying upon your website anyway. So if that reminder is there for them, we know this, right? As pastors and people in ministry, there's a lot of people that go, they may raise their hand to make a decision for Christ, but then they don't take that next important biblical step in getting baptized. So I think that it's definitely extremely valuable for that reason too.
Yeah. Let me add this in too. So the baptism call to action can't just be orphaned all by itself, right? So we're not saying just have a page that's just that says get baptized and then there's a form. That's it. I think it needs some explanation. I think that churches would do well to do a little, 5 or 10 minute explanation, like an explainer video or a short little sermonette or something that talks about baptism and why it's important and why you should do it and what it means, and giving people an opportunity to understand that. And I think it lets you kind of do the convincing and some of those conversations outside of in person. They're great in person as well, but I think just having a form is not the answer, but having some explanation, maybe a video and then the form, that's the right way to do something like that.
That's good. That's good. Yep. Well, I'll tackle the next one. And this one might actually seem a little generic or like a general. And actually, there's some advantages to that. But this next one here is just to take a step. Yep. Just take a next step. For a lot of churches, this specific call to action gives you a little bit of freedom, I guess, on what you want that step to be for them. So if it's not to specifically get baptized or to plan a visit or watch online, this could be something, depending upon your church's assimilation process and or on-ramping of new visitors, it could be different things, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'd envision this usually for most churches being whatever your membership class is. And I know membership is one of those sticky words that maybe we don't use. Maybe you call it partnership or, every church has some kind of form of a membership process, whether you actually sign something or not. But, whether you call it a roots class or a class or maybe it's an alpha program that you do at your church. Maybe it's what do you guys call them there at your church?
Oh, it's a connection. So we call it connect. My gosh, I've been a member there for a long time. So connection
point. Growth
point.
Track. Growth Hold track on. Is what I was no, going to no, no. call it.
It was growth track. It's connection point now. Sorry to my pastors.
connection point, growth track, whatever it is, probably have some kind of a class that helps people make that transition from visitor to attender to fully committed part of your church there. So giving people an opportunity, explaining when that is, talking about when it's happening, and giving them a form to sign up on to take a step. That's really something that's valuable.
It's good.
Yep. Awesome. Number six, it's to join a group. Most churches have some form of discipleship groups that happen, whether you call them small groups or life groups, or here in Hawaii, we call them Ohana groups because Ohana means family, or you have a Sunday school class or whatever it would be. Every church seems to have some kind of an outside of Sunday morning, smaller groups structure that you need to invite people to. The mistake I see so often is churches bragging about, hey, we have this great dynamic small group program, and it's groups of 10 to 12 people. They meet in homes and we meet weekly and they share meals. And then that's it.
So again, there's that silence where that awkward silence.
there's a hurdle to get over that because let's just face it, like showing up to somebody's house for the first time who you don't know, especially that's hard. Like it takes some guts to do that, just to knock on someone's door and say, I'm here for a small group. And if you don't help people over that hurdle, you're really diminishing the numbers of people that you'll be able to reach with something like that. So I think helping people make that transition, reduce their apprehension, feel comfortable, maybe make a connection with the leader of the group before they show up. I think that's really a great way to help people get over that there.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's such a, you brought to my memory when you and I were in a season when we weren't pastoring together and we were kind of in transition and we were, my wife and I were becoming members at our church, but you guys were kind of in another transition. You were checking our church out. We both went to our families together, went to a new small group. And I remember when we made sure we showed up at the same time. So we were together, right? Uh-huh. Cause we knew each other and we were walking towards the door just saying, oh, what's going to happen here. So yeah. You're right. Already people have apprehension, and it's such, obviously for most churches, it's such an important step of discipleship and someone becoming a really involved member. And obviously that's where you're going to meet people. And we know all of that. Right. But so it's most certainly something that's vital. And even if it's we talked a lot about like home groups but even if it's a Sunday school class, right. If you have a traditional model at your church for discipleship and small groups, still invite them to take that step, because this is one of those ones, like you said, that is it takes a little more guts and working, building up, and you know, someone to take that step. So
yeah, I think you're dead right there. Yeah, that's it.
Good. Next one we have is get involved. Again, another kind of general term, if you will, but obviously we want everyone to be getting involved to some fashion, whether or not that's serving, you know, often this is the term I think we do see on websites where it's about taking that step to serve.
Yep.
But we like this term, get involved. Maybe and there's nothing wrong with calling someone to action to say serve, but the getting involved speaks of something more, right? It's kind of a broader thing to someone, and it makes them feel like they're going deeper, not just like signing up to serve.
I prefer it. I think it's not right or wrong. I think that these terms can be interchangeable. I think that's the heart of them that we're getting after. But yeah, I think giving people on ramps into places of service, right. I think that's really something that's valuable. And again, I see churches talking all the time about all the serving that they do and the missions trips that they offer and the partnerships they have with local community organizations, but no on ramp for me to take that next step to do something like that. So I think that really is something that churches need to make that front and center, giving people on ramps to be able to serve. I know that at our church, that was something that we saw a lot of. This is interesting. I think a lot of new people. And this is kind of just the culture of our day, is that there is this shareable, Instagram-worthy thing that people feel when they can go and serve and take pictures and do all that kind of stuff, serving other people. And I think that that's like one of these new evangelism strategies that is really emerging over this next decade. I think it's only going to grow, of this way that we can actually involve people in serving as a form of helping them get assimilated and becoming a part of things. So I use this example. How many times those that have been on a short-term missions trip, you know, sure, you know, whatever you did, whether you helped build an orphanage or you preached the gospel out there or whatever it was that you did, I think that's valuable. But I think what I have seen to be the best value out of short-term missions trips is what it does for the people that actually go on that trip. I'm a product of that. I think I went on missions trips and I come back fired up and ready to change the world here. And so service on a local scale has that same ability to help people kind of get out there, get outside of their four walls. And I think it's a great way to rub shoulders with people from your church and a great way to get assimilated. So giving that constant on-ramp with a call to action on the website, it's super valuable. I think it's one that every church should have on there.
Yeah. You also reminded me of a time. I remember I invited someone who is unchurched to church, and they said, "I'm not interested, but I've heard about that that laundry love outreach you guys do. I'd love to help out and jump in there." So
absolutely.
Seen it happen.
Yep, that's it. So number eight is sign up for an event. I think that every church website should have some kind of an event system, because churches, even if you're not a really event heavy kind of a church, you have things that happen there. And rather than just telling people when and where it is, I think actually asking them to do something to respond is a huge opportunity that you have. So whether it's a vacation Bible school that's coming up, or a back to school thing, or Christmas Eve services or Easter services, these are all events. Giving people an opportunity to sign up and say that they're coming and respond to it, I think you're just going to get better attendance at any one of these events if you ask people to come versus just telling them about it.
Yeah, and it also helps the church know how, kind of get an idea of how many people are coming too, right? Yeah. So if you really strongly encourage that, it's going to help your team plan and kind of know, you know, what to expect there. So yeah, totally agree. It's a pretty much a no-brainer for this one, I think.
Yeah, and so many churches, I think, still pass around the clipboard, or, you know, you go to the info booth at the back of the church. And I'm not saying that you can't do that anymore.
Right.
I just think that for anybody... millennials and Gen Z, and I think even a lot of Gen X, are the preferred way to sign up for events is going to be on your phone or on your computer online, doing it that way, as opposed to going to someplace and filling out a sign up sheet or something of that kind. Yep. So your website is a perfect place for that.
That's it. That's it. Yeah. Well, I'll tackle the last one here. Last but not least is to give online. Definitely you want to ask people to do that and ask them tactfully. So we'll talk probably a little bit more about that. But definitely I've seen, for whatever reason, this call to action be buried on a lot of church websites. And I know that this is a trickier kind of bridge to cross, because we do want to be careful about, you know, the impression we give when we ask for money at a church, or, and that's a wrong way to even put it right there, the way I just said it. Yeah. You know, we don't want to just ask for money. Right. But, So we want to give people opportunity for sure though, and call them to action to worship the Lord this way and help the church.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that we're all, I think the vast majority of pastors are afraid of looking like we are, prosperity gospel, name it and claim it, all about money, give first kind of churches, when that is a very small minority of churches operate that way. And I can't recall a church that we've served over the last several years where they've come off that way to us, at least, where they've said that, hey, we want to make sure giving is the main thing on this site. Like,
there
I've never
was
heard
one.
That. Was there one?
I joked about it. I've joked about it in one of our one of our first podcasts. And this was, I think this was the one where we were talking about the mistakes to make on your website. And this was this was not a church that we worked with, but we didn't build this out for them, but basically we came across their current website that had the pastor on the homepage. Remember, very well dressed, looked great, nothing wrong with that, but leaning against a gold pillar, and underneath his feet was where you entered the amount that you wanted to give. It was specifically right underneath his feet. And it was the main call to action on the homepage.
I remember now. That is so funny. I just think that of the hundreds of consultation calls and coaching sessions we've done with churches, thousands over the years, I don't recall someone that told us, hey, we really want to make sure that the main thing on our website is giving people a place to give. So it's just, I don't recall that. And I think that that's something that I know that there's a handful of pastors that we always think of that are very famous and they notoriously fly around in jets, like people say, and that kind of stuff. And whatever, that's not our, we don't want to comment necessarily on that, but I think that avoid that temptation of throwing the baby out with the bathwater and burying your giving section or your giving call to action because you're worried of coming off that way or that you're going to rub people the wrong way. A very influential pastor in my life told me about 10 years ago, he says, don't ever apologize for talking about giving. That's something that is obviously all throughout scripture. It's taught in most books of the Bible. It goes into the ideas of giving. And so I think that it's something that we need to make sure that we are talking about on our website now. And I'll say this too. We talked about this a little bit last week. Giving, you can't just make that the call to action and not have anything around it. You need to talk a little bit more about why we give and the heart behind it and how much to give and ways you can give and all those things are talked about. I think this would be another great spot to have an explainer video that talks about your heart behind this, because maybe some people can misinterpret your motives if they just see that. But I think as a general rule, do not throw this out. Do not be afraid to talk about giving. Right. I think that's my encouragement for our audience.
You and I both agree that, and could concur that, you know, that's been a blessing to us to be able to give. Like you and I, it's something that it's very fulfilling to us, right? And
yeah, I think absolutely.
It is, it should and is for, that's a biblical thing for most yep. believers. And of course, God loves a cheerful giver. There's been times I've given, I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm just doing this to be faithful. But it's obviously something that we want to allow people to take part in it for their own spiritual blessing as well. And, you know, it's, we say this around this time of year, right? It's around Christmas time. We always say it's more blessed to give than to receive. So
that's absolutely right.
So it's good timing for this time of year too and everything. So, but,
yeah, absolutely. Good. So, well, that's good. Yeah. I hope that's been helpful to our audience with this here. I think that, the main takeaway is call people to action. Don't just give them it. Don't dump information on them and hope for the best. You have to ask them to respond with the information that you're giving them. And these are the nine that we would recommend on every single church website out there. So, we're going to wrap up with that today. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. If this has been good for you, please rate, review, subscribe. It means a lot to us when you do that. Quick note is next week's episode with Christmas coming. Next week, Thursday, is Christmas Eve. So we'll be coming out a day early next week. So you can watch for us on there and probably the same thing the following week. So keep your eye out for that and we'll catch you next week.
Yeah, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Reach Right podcast. We hope this episode will help you reach people the right way. Looking for more resources for your church? Check us out online at reachrightstudios.com. If this episode has been helpful to you, it would mean the world to us if you would rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.